Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast. And please share those on social media. America Out Loud faces the same censorship that many conservatives do, so we appreciate that a great deal. Got a special holiday show again tonight, but this time it's going to be a little bit different. We're going to be talking about the year in review, 2021, and all of the top stories to come out of this year. So many big things happened this year, looking back on it now, and it will be interesting to see what 2022 brings us. I'm really excited for the show tonight and to talk about 2021. We're going to do the countdown list of the top 20 stories of 2021, and I'm ready to get into it. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Andrew, I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be on tonight to discuss the top stories of 2021. And I'm sure that we'll start with the list that we have, and then we'll just, you know, go from there. As things come up, we'll think of them in no particular order, but we'll try to start out in order. But I just want to thank everyone also for being with us this entire year and listening to the broadcast and listening to our take on the news and us dissecting the news and bringing to them information that the mainstream media won't necessarily cover in depth. Now, I'm sure that they covered some stories, but it was always like a washover. And I've said this so many times that they will report on something and then move on, hoping that the American people would move on with them. And Andrew, unfortunately, in many cases, that's exactly what happened. So I'm glad that you've put together a list that we can go back over in detail to remind the American people what has been happening, what has happened over the past year, and what they should keep their eyes on. Because certainly 2022 will be a monumental year, a deciding factor as to what's going to happen to our great country, the country that Biden has basically just tearing apart little by little. And the media washing right over it, pretending as if though everything is okay. You know, Andrew, before when you sent this the list to me of things that we're going to talk about, I was looking at it and I said, you know what? It's really unfortunate that when this man is finally out of office and the next president that comes in, hopefully is a Republican, be it Trump or whomever else, they will have to take what he has destroyed and build to make America great again. And you know what will be said? Oh, well, what's happening is that Biden's policies that were he was implementing, they're just now coming to fruition. No, it's not. That is so farther from the truth. Nothing like that. But that's how the left will spin it. They will say that whoever gets into office, that the reason why they're having all this success is because Biden was in the trenches trying to put things together, policies together, to get us to that point. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that. They said that about Obama when Trump's economy was booming. Now, initially, they said, oh, things are falling apart, and it's because of Trump, and it's not going to get better, and we're going to go to war. I mean, the first, I think, January, when he came into office, that's all they talked about was the economy was tanking, and he's got to own it. And this is his fault because he should have never been elected. The moment the economy started to turn around and it was booming, the moment unemployment dropped, stocks were good, they immediately ran to, well, this was what Obama had, you know, he was putting this into play already. And so Trump is just benefiting from the Obama years. No, he was not. Obama had 2 terms, 8 years, and he was a failure. He didn't bring us together. He caused more division. And you want to say that, oh, no, it was because of him that Trump had this great economy. No. That is wrong. So when Biden, we finally get him out of the White House, we take out the garbage in the Senate and the House of Representatives. We can hopefully try to put the country back to where it belongs, where it should be, and get out all of those radicals AOC and her entire group, get them out. No, they won't go anywhere anytime soon, Andrew, because I'm sure that they're already behind the scenes working out deals to be on CNN and MSNBC. And if I were at the top of CNN, I would say, no, we don't want any of them. Now, of course, they've gone and got this Jan 6 police officer, so they're not looking at changing their platform anytime soon, especially knowing that they're getting also Chris Wallace, who's the biggest liberal out there, on a streaming service. So they haven't learned their lessons yet, Andrew. But hopefully.
Yeah, that's no surprise.
Soon. Oh, no, not surprise at all. So, Andrew, take the lead and let us know, what are we talking about? The top items.
All right, so we're going to run down the top 20 stories of 2021 in the next two shows. Let's start off with the number 20 story on the list. I know you love this one, Rob. Brian Laundrie murders girlfriend Gabby Petito. Obviously, this story got a ton of traction over the summer. It could be to maybe be a little distraction for the disaster that the Joe Biden administration has been. However, you could not go anywhere without reading about this couple, Brian Laundrie and Gabby Petito. It should be interesting to see what we see in 2022 as far as these cases go. It'd been a long time since we've had a situation where there's a murder in the news to this extent. And then, of course, you had Joy Reid saying that this was missing white woman syndrome, and that's the reason the country was up in arms. What are your thoughts on Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie? It didn't end up being as exciting of an ending as a lot of people were hoping. They're hoping that Brian Laundrie was some kind of crazy survivalist and they would find him on some remote island in another country or something. But, of course, he just committed suicide. Not much to see there.
Yeah, the denouement, the ending, the climax was pretty much anticlimactic because they thought that it was going to really be, you know, a story that they could really sink their teeth in. But here's my take on it. When it happened, as I said, I could care less. White man kills white girl. Okay, fine, next. But Joy Reid took it to a different level. This is not fair. This is a white woman syndrome, and she's missing, and they're devoting all this attention on this and going on and on and on. I'm like, Joy, why didn't you just take my approach and say, next, people come up missing every day? But she took it a step further because her whole thing was, it's about racism and that the value of a white woman's life versus that of a woman of color, a black woman. At no time did Joy think to cover any of the stories of missing black women, whom she claimed were just equally as important, them being missing. There was a woman in Philadelphia who was pregnant, who was shot to death. Joy said nothing about it. There was another woman, Louisiana, college student, went missing. Joy said nothing about it. There was a black man, kid, college student, he went missing. Joy said absolutely nothing about it. And the list goes on and on and on. She had a platform, as many other black commentators, newscasters. They chose not to report on it. No one was telling them not to talk about it. She's on an hour every night talking about what? Hate and racism. She could have very easily said, well, I'm not going to talk about the hate and racism today, because you guys know that I try to beef up my ratings by talking about that. Right now, I want to talk about a missing black woman who to this date we haven't found. What was going to keep her from doing it? Well, I'll tell you what. She knew that she wasn't going to get ratings, so she thinks she had to cover Gabby. But she had to do it in a subtle way to make it seem as though she didn't want to cover it, but she was forced to cover it because she was trying to point out the racism and the coverage. Joy, we are on to you. You failed. You failed all of those black women, black girls, and black boys that went missing when you had a platform and you could have covered it, but you chose not to. You chose to cover, as you say, the missing white woman syndrome. So you're part of the problem, Joy, and you're part of so many other problems.
Well said. And we all remember the vitriol towards those parents. In hindsight, it seems odd that they were not charged. And then you look at like This Ethan Crumbly recently, who did the school shooting in Michigan, his parents are being charged. The Laundrie's parents, as far as I know, still have not been charged. It'll be interesting to see if there is more to this case maybe coming up in 2022.
Well, as I said before, you know, if you, this is like part of a family, and we're going to talk about this later on, about with the Cuomo brothers. I mean, people were giving him a pass for protecting his brother and saying, oh, he was protecting his brother. He was standing up for him. So we've got to give him an okay, a pass. It's like, well, if you're going to give him a pass, why not give the Laundrie parents a pass? Because they were protecting their son. They didn't want to squeal on their son and say, hey, here he is. You know, it's this is the mindset of liberals. They're okay doing it one way, but then another way, they're not okay. But like I said, we'll discuss it. What's next, Andrew?
Next, we have number 19, which is something that we were both hoping would rate a lot higher this year, but unfortunately it does not. And that is John Durham's investigation. We're still waiting for more to come out of this probe. I believe he finally made a couple of arrests this year. He spent over $3.8 million on his probe this year. Hopefully going into 2022, we'll get some good results. But as we've seen in the past, do not hold your breath with this Durham investigation. I believe he was appointed by Attorney General Bill Barr, and we have not seen much good come from Bill Barr as Attorney General. So it should be interesting to see if Durham actually does his job and gets any dirt on the Democrats like he has been hired to do. Rob, what are your thoughts on the current status of the Durham investigation?
Well, I don't necessarily say that he's looking for dirt on the Democrats. He's just looking at exposing the truth. And like you said, it's taking him how long? I mean, I know they say that he's very thorough, he's methodical, and he wants to make certain that he's doing it, but I really want to just be a fly on the wall to see exactly what is he doing and how is he doing it. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to go in and indict Andrew McCabe. What was the other guy's name? The tall guy, the FBI director, indict him as well. I mean, there's so many people that are there that can be indicted. The entire thing with the Pfizer warrants. To this day, no one has been held accountable. What are they waiting on? Are we waiting for someone to come in and say, well, we thought this was a guy, but it wasn't? Oh, James Comey, Rod Rosenstein, Peter Stroke, and the list just goes on and on and on. Why hasn't anyone looked at them and say, hey, we need to bring them? We need to look and see what exactly, what did they know and when did they know it? Why? Why? What's taking him so long?
Yeah,
I mean, they've indicted other individuals with less information.
Yeah, it's so frustrating to see what the left has been allowed to get away with, impeaching President Trump twice with no basis behind it whatsoever. All their investigations in the Russia collusion. Of course, nothing really came out of it because there was nothing to see there. But then you have John Durham, and we've just been wanting update since the 2016 election, really, is when President Trump promised to root out the swamp and investigate these people like the Clintons. And we still have not gotten the results because we know these people are evil. And we know that there's a lot there for Durham to do.
There's a lot for him to do if he would only do it. Again, it begs a question. What is he waiting on? What is he afraid of? Now, we all know that if he were to indict these individuals, James Comey, Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, whom Merrick Garland just recently went back and said, oh, you can have all of your pension. Although you did wrong, we're going to give you back all this money. Regardless of the fact that when he was fired by Rod Rosenstein, CNN decided to hire him to bridge the gap so that his family wouldn't suffer, that he could keep his income coming in. No, think about this, because I don't think people understand what happened here. He was fired for lying to the FBI. Rod Rosenstein recommended that he be fired. But CNN is going to reach out to him because he was a source of information for them and say, well, we're going to bridge that gap while you're not making any money so that your family doesn't suffer. We're going to bridge that gap and we're going to put you on our payroll so that you can pontificate and continue to tell lies. Now, think about it. I'm connecting the dots again, folks. Think about it. Fast forward today. COVID-19. If you don't take the vaccine, we're going to fire you. Simply because I don't want it in my body. You're going to fire me? Yeah, we're going to fire you. And you're going to lose all your pension. Now, who's going to bridge the gap for those middle-class workers? Who's going to bridge the gap for them to make certain that their family is taken care of? Well, according to Joe Biden, we don't care. It serves them right. But when it comes to people like Andrew McCabe, who probably already has money from being in the government, because somehow these people know how to get rich working for the government, whereas there are other people that are federal servants, work there all their lives, they can barely make ends meet. But these guys, oh, they get rich on a public salary now. So Andrew McCabe lost his pension. CNN decides to hire him to bridge the gap. And then in comes Merrick Garland, who says, oh, we feel sorry for you. We're going to give you back all your pension and all the back pay at taxpayers' expense. But yet and still, John Durham, he's trying to investigate. Well, it looks like he should investigate that also. Oh, but it'll be too hard to prove. If we try to get this before a grand jury, it'll be too hard to prove this case. And I agree with them, because they'll have it in liberal DC, and people will look at it, and then they'll look the other way, not realizing that if it were them, if they were the ones, in this case, were brought against them, they would be thrown up under the jail and shown no mercy. How soon do we forget how brainwashed we become when we're looking at crime? But when we have hate for someone else, wanting to prove, well, it's actually that person being President Trump, of course, we lose all of our senses. And then we're stuck holding the bag while these guys get to walk away in the sunset on a sunny beach. Andrew, it's unbelievable. Next.
Yeah, it really is. And let's look at the number 18 story we ranked for 2021. General Miley and Lloyd Austin's new woke military. Transgender personnel and individuals with gender dysphoria who can meet the Army standards for military service can now serve openly in their self-identified gender, according to a new policy approved by the Joe Biden administration and Army Secretary. This is from the Army site. We've seen a lot of changes. We had on Colonel Julie Hall come on and talk about this. We now see transgenders taking over the military. What's next? Them joining the military and us taxpayers buying their sex change? Well, it sounds like that's what's next. Rob, what are your thoughts on General Miley and Lloyd Austin's new woke military? It's a disgrace to the United States of America, if you ask me, but what are your thoughts?
General Miley and Lloyd Austin are bureaucrats. They're only in it for what they can get out of it. General Miley came out during President Trump's presidency when he walked over to St. John's Church with President Trump, and President Trump was just going there to say, hey, you guys, you rioters of the spring, summer 2020, you're not going to tear down this church. You're not going to burn it down. Miley goes over. Miley comes back and makes a public statement. I should have never done this. It was wrong. It was wrong. Oh, was it wrong? So why are you coming out speaking against the commander in chief when you've been playing politics all along? Playing politics with, we want transgenders, we want all these people in the military. And I'm looking at Mao, and I'm looking at Marxists, I'm studying all this stuff, and I'm looking at CRT because I want to understand. Understand what? Do you think that's going to make people like me, Black people, feel good because you're claiming to be woke? Oh, and let's let all the transgenders in because, you know, they're humans also. No one said they weren't human. But if you have a gender dysphoria, as laid out in the medical books, you need counseling. There's no if, and, or buts. But see, Andrew, when they usher this stuff in, without regards as to looking at science and understanding science, it's just another chip at the fall of society. Because what will happen is that other people will not join the military because they'll look at it and say, we're not serious. You're not serious about your mission. No, I'm sure that there are gays and all these other people in the military. Who cares? I don't care about that stuff. I'm concerned with the mission. And I said this on one of our shows before, Andrew. When you go back and you look at the 90s and this whole kerfuffle about don't ask, don't tell, you know, Bill Clinton was actually onto something then. And I think that that should be the mantra. We should go back and look at it. You don't ask me, and I don't have to tell. Because right. now it's, oh, you get. We need to know. Are you? We want everyone to know that you are gay. We want everyone to know that you are a lesbian. Regardless of the mission, we don't care about the mission anymore. We just want to know what your sexuality is. What does your sexuality have to do with you performing the job?
Yeah,
absolutely nothing.
When you're on the battle lines, you don't have time to be addressing these kind of issues, whether you're a man or a woman. That's not what you should be worried about when you've got terrorists shooting at you and a whole line of people behind you that you're responsible for helping protect.
Oh, but you do have you have to be concerned with that because you want to make certain that you have the right nail polish on.
Yeah.
You want to make certain that you have the right hair dye in your hair on, that you weren't, that your pants aren't too tight or too this or too that. Now, again, I'm sure that there are people serving in the military that are gay and lesbian, and we would never know about it. And to them, as far as they're concerned, it's their own personal business. Why do they need to bring that to the table? Well, the reason why is that they want to be able to wear pink fatigues. They want to be able to wear nail polish. They want to be able to be flamboyant. They want to be able to have drag night in the military. I mean, all this stuff that we don't need. We are decreasing the effectiveness of our military because we're looking at all this other crazy stuff and saying, well, this makes us one. This is how we're able to bring in everyone. We're being inclusive. We've been inclusive all this time without having that. Again, I ask, what does your sexuality have to do with you putting on the fatigue and defending this country? Absolutely yeah. nothing.
Well said, Rob, and I recommend people go back in the archives and look up our show with Colonel Julie Hall to get her thoughts on it. 30-year veteran. She's got some very interesting thoughts on this new woke military. Also, our show with Joe Kent, he talked about Miley and Austin and gave some great information there. You guys definitely want to go back in the archive and check out so many great shows over 2021 in America Out Loud. Number 17 on our list of the top stories of 2021 would be Jesse Smollett is guilty on all charges. And it also looks like Kim Fox used her bias to get him out of it. Originally, of course, we know she was called by her friend Michelle Obama and told to take it easy on Jesse Smollett. And that's exactly what the city of Chicago did. Luckily, there were more charges brought against him, and he was guilty on them all. So race hoaxer Jesse Smollett is number 17. Rob, what were your thoughts on Jesse Smollett and Kim Fox?
Well, we said from day one when this first happened with Jesse that it was a whole scam. I mean, if you just look at it, look at the facts, look at what he said, look at the story that he created. It was a bad script. Even he couldn't have put together a worse script. The dots just didn't connect. That these two people wearing MAGA hats were after him only in liberal Chicago, on the gay side of Chicago, doing a vortex, winter vortex. Are you serious?
Yeah.
And he couldn't see them, and they want to beat him up, and then he's going to fight back. He's going to get some licks, and it was a farce.
I guess he did happen to be a top story 2 years in a row, because last year the hate hoax was the big story, and then this year it was him being guilty on all charges. So I guess he did get 2 years of news coverage out of it. He got some mileage.
Yeah, his moments of fame. It's like, are you serious? And then Kim Fox. Oh my gosh. I mean, she stepped in it. At first she was saying, well, no one is covering this. And then she said, oh, let's look at it. And then they devoted all the resources in Chicago. But they knew that it was a joke. It was a hoax. That his whole race war that he was trying to create was just that a hoax. And Kim was behind it. And not only Kim, Andrew, but the first Black lady of the United States. No, not first Black lady, first lady of the United States. She was the first lady, when she happened to be Black, I want to get it mixed up, got involved in this. Michelle Obama had one of her top chief of staffs to contact Kim to make it all go away. And as of this moment, as the year ends, no one has put the spotlight on Michelle Obama to say, why was she involved in this? Why was she involved in a civilian case? Why was she involved in an active police investigation? God forbid, had Melania just said what's happening, they would have went all over her. But for Michelle, nothing. Rules for thee, not for me. Well, I'm not going to forget about it. And I think that Michelle should be called in and questioned. Michelle, why were you involved? No, she will probably lie about it. But it's the asking that counts. And then more asking. Kim and Michelle, what did you know and when did you know it? And what exactly were you trying to do? I can't believe that Kim still has her job. Because if Kim were white, she wouldn't have a job. Let's just be honest. She would not have a job. But because she's Black, and right now everything is on, oh, they've treated Black people so bad because it's difficult for them to obey the law, she still has her position. But who is she helping? She's not helping the Black citizens in Chicago, because last count, many of them died over the Christmas break, were shot in Chicago. But she's busy trying to help out a movie star, a celebrity. Yeah, okay, whatever. Again, people, we're just putting it out there. If you're okay with this, continue to vote for these people. But if you're not okay with it, stop voting for them and demand accountability.
That's right. You're tuned in to After Dark with Robin Andrews 2021 Year in Review Show, which is available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more from our Year in Review.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Liberty and the pursuit of 2022 is upon us. Happy New Year, my fellow Americans. Well, for last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice. That's from T.S. Eliot. Here's to your voice being heard in the new year. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
We are back here on After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and we are counting down our top 20 stories of 2021, and we're excited that you guys can join us. In the first half, we broke down the number 20 story of the year, which was Brian Laundry murdering girlfriend Gabby Petito. Number 19 was the status of John Durham and his investigation. Number 18 was the woke military and its changes. Number 17, Jesse Smollett guilty on all charges and Kim Fox's connections. Well, number 16 is going to have to be our current Vice President Kamala Harris, and what an abject failure she has been in her first year as Vice President. It's unfortunate she is the first female Vice President and Black female Vice President. What is unfortunate about that is the job that she has done makes it to where I don't think anyone's going to be anxious to vote for a female for vice president again anytime soon. She has just been AWOL. If you look at the border, the disaster, she was put in charge and she's done absolutely nothing. Anytime she's asked a serious question, she just cackles and giggles. It's really embarrassing. And I think this run as vice president will be the end of her political career. I think it's all over after this. But Rob, what are your thoughts on the disastrous year of Vice President Kamala Harris?
Well, I have a different take on it. I think that, well, for one, she's being propped up. And I just learned this the other day from doing a little research. The reason why Biden won't dump her, because I'm sure Jill has said, dump her, take her out, she's no good. But they won't dump her because they're playing to their base. They're playing to the base of the Black women. And Black women, unfortunately, can't see through the fact that she's incompetent, she being Kamala. So they're going to keep her on for as long as possible. Well, not for as long as possible. They're just going to keep her on and not remove her, because if they remove her, of course, the media will swoom in, especially Joy Reid and the witches on The View, and they will say, oh, they're attacking Black women again. Because, you know, she's already saying that if she were a white man, she wouldn't be treated this way. And I would present to her, look at former President Donald Trump. Look at Dan Quayle and so many other white men that the media has ripped to pieces because they didn't like them. She's no exception. She just happens to be a woman who's in a position that she should not be in. Barack Obama convinced Joe to put her there knowing that she's not good, but what harm could she do? She will help you because Black women will look at that and say, ah, oh, we see ourselves. Never mind the fact that Kamala is an Asian woman, but she'll claim to be an African-American. I mean, and that's a whole different story, because as far as I'm concerned, if we want to talk about African-Americans, the true African-American is Elon Musk. Go study it amongst yourselves to figure out what I mean when I said that, Elon Musk. Okay, that's a true African-American. But back to Kamala and her dismal performance. This woman from day one has not been able to perform at the level that she should be. Now, she's blamed everyone except herself. I'm sure she's participating in a little libation at night. But it's more Kamala than just putting on a suit, putting on some KED sneakers or Vans, and then laughing. It's more than just that. When you can't keep your own staff together, when you have Simone Sanders, a Black woman, who said that we don't need another another white man running the Democrat Party, but was able to be swayed by Joe Biden to help him become president, and then he gives her to you to help you out, as opposed to giving her the White House secretary position, he's just going to move her on and say, forget about that, you go help out Kamala. And then she leaves you, there's a problem. And there are other people in Kamala's orbit that don't like her. But hey, who are we? We're just pointing out, Andrea and I, we're just pointing out the obvious, that she's an abject failure, just like Biden is an abject failure. But we're just two hosts of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. What's next, yeah. Andrew?
And clearly this job was too much for her to handle. She was absolutely not qualified for this job whatsoever. Number 15 on our list of stories of 2021, I would have to go with the Kim Potter trial and Kim Potter being guilty on all charges, which is very unfortunate in my opinion. You look at this Dante Wright case. This was a felon, a thug trying to escape arrest, trying to evade arrest, even though he had a bench warrant out for him. Of course, Kim Potter reached for what she claims her taser. She pulled out her gun and shot him. Very unfortunate and sad incident. And definitely feel for Kim Potter. And then when she was being, after she was read guilty, her lawyers tried to get her out for the Christmas season before sentencing. And the inhumane prosecutor said, nope, she could flee the state, even though she's a police officer with, I believe, 28 years of perfect job reports. What were your thoughts on Kim Potter being guilty on all charges, Rob?
Well, you know, Andrew, we haven't talked about this really since the verdict and she was found guilty. And if you recall, before this, we did a show, Who is Kim Potter? And you and I both had different positions as to if she should be found guilty, what happened and whatnot. And I said that, you know, we've got to look at the fact that a life was taken, although it was accidental. But at the same time, the fact that she is a police officer with a very stellar record. And unfortunately, in that line of duty, sometimes mistakes happen. And if we want police officers to protect us, we have got to look at what happened, you know, and I don't want to say cut them some wiggle room, but I mean, we've got to be honest about this. As I've said so many times, Dante Wright put his own lives in his hand. All he had to do was just be arrested. He would be with us today. I mean, think about it. He was in Minnesota. They were going to let him out. They don't hold prisoners. They would have brought him in, processed him, and then, okay, back on the streets. And when you look at his record, he had banged up one of his girlfriends. He was driving a car without a license. What was his intent? Why was he trying to get away? After they had said, get out of the car. And, well, no, I can outrun the police. Outrun the police? Though some say, well, she made a mistake and she got her taser. I mean, she got her gun as opposed to her taser. Honest mistake, I don't care how many times you say, well, you could have felt the weight. When you're in the moment, when we saw that she was in, and you had all of this turmoil taking place, accidents happen. And many legal experts said that this case should have never been prosecuted. They should have never brought charges against her. They should have taken her weapon and said, okay, let's investigate. But because of the mob mentality of wanting to say police officers are killing Black people, and it had nothing to do with it. Do you actually think that she woke up that day with the intent to kill this guy? And to me, Andrew, what was even a tell-all sign is when she, after it had happened, and she crumbled down and she said, oh my God, I'm going to prison. Now, some people looked at that and said, see that she knew she was wrong because she knew she was going to prison. No, she was lamenting because she knew the atmosphere, what was out there.
Yeah, what kind of society we live in today.
The society that if you make a mistake, if you're a police officer, we don't care. We're going to prosecute you. This case should have never been brought forth. They should have said it's unfortunate. And of course, they're going to give the family millions of dollars, give them their dollars, millions, and move on. He's not a hero. He's not a martyr. He's still a bad person, plain and simple.
Yeah, I feel for Kim Potter, but in this case, it almost seems like a clear example of a situation where cops really need to come out and stick up for themselves. I mean, cops hold a lot of power. What are people going to do if all the police officers say, hey, I'm not coming to work tomorrow? They're going to be getting begged to be coming back to work. How many times are they going to let a fellow officer be imprisoned like this for doing their job without standing up for them before it's them that has this happen to them? I would have really liked to see a lot more unity from the police officers after this verdict was read. And they've got to stick together or else they're next on the list.
You're right. They have to. I mean, and it has to be in a truthful sense. We're not saying to cover for bad cops, because we know that they're bad cops that are there. But in this situation, I mean, this woman was trying to protect a fellow officer, and this is a thing she gets. It's a sad day. I mean, we have to accept the verdict, but I think that they should appeal. And as far as her not being able to go home, I mean, I understand that to a degree, Andrew, because if when you're looking at the law and we're saying that we're all equal, then if someone else was found guilty of a similar crime, if you're not going to let them go home, why let her go home? Now, I get it. People would say, well, she's a police officer. I understand it, because at the same time, we could look at Justice Somalay. We could say, well, he got to go home. Why isn't he locked up? But also, it might have been beneficial for her and her family, because had they let her out, do not doubt for a second that these rioters, these radicals from Antifa and Black Lives Matter would have harassed her and her family and her son, who's in the military. And her husband used to be a former police officer. I mean, I hope she gets off. I hope that this wrong is corrected. If we had a Republican governor, he could probably say, okay, I looked at this and I'm going to give her clemency or whatnot. But I don't think that she deserves to be in jail for 14 years. It was a mistake.
She deserves a raise, if you ask me. She was actually going in there to arrest that thug felon, and unfortunately, she used her taser instead. But my stance on that is that deadly force was appropriate there if you look at the jeopardy that the other officer was in when the possibility of this guy fleeing with the other officer partially in the car could have been drug or ran over. And then he also had a female in the back seat of his car who was unidentified. So they could have been looking out for her best interest as well. Number 14 on our list of top stories of 2021 was Joe Biden being sworn in as president of the United States. Unfortunately, we all know how the 2020 election went down. Still a bitter taste in my mouth about that. But nonetheless, Joe Biden was sworn in. President Trump becomes the first president in, I believe, decades to not go to the ceremonial process of seeing the new president sworn in. Rob, what are your thoughts on Joe Biden being sworn in January?
Well, you say sworn in as a new president, I say sworn in as a resident, because he has not proven himself to be the president. There have been so many failures that we'll cover one failure after the next. And then the other day he comes out after ridiculing Trump in 2020 about COVID and saying that there weren't enough tests and that if they can't get enough tests, that person shouldn't be president and that this was a federal government matter, not a state matter. And now he's saying that it is a state matter. And like clockwork, the media does not call him out on it. They just move right on. Oh, so when Trump said it was for the federal government, you said that he was wrong, but now you can say it and it's okay. This guy has been a disaster from day one. He has not proven himself that he could handle the constitutional duties of the presidency. And the sooner we get rid of him, the better. But of course, if he were to leave, we would have Kamala. If she were to leave, we would have Nancy Pelosi. Unless, if we take both houses back in 2022 and these guys are removed out, hey, a Republican, if he's a Speaker of the House, would step up. But as far as I'm concerned, right now, he has been a complete abject failure. And I don't think there's any coming back. I mean, I want the country to succeed. I want the country to succeed. Hear me clearly. But Joe, he's not the person to take us to the next level. Not at all. Because his policies and the things that he's done, it's impossible. Impossible, Andrew.
Yeah, let's just hope we can survive 4 years of his disastrous administration. I mean, year one. We'll get into more of this on the list later on, but it has just been an abject failure from Joe Biden. Number 13 on the list, speaking of Joe Biden, is Let's Go Brandon explodes into a well-known pop culture phenomenon. Everywhere you go, you see the Let's Go Brandon signs or stickers, whatever you may see. And then, of course, we all know it started off with the F Joe Biden chants originally at a lot of college sporting events, and it all climaxed into a NASCAR race where a driver named Brandon won his race. And of course, there was the F Joe Biden chants, and one of the fake news reporters said, they're saying, "Let's go, Brandon," and it exploded from there. What are your thoughts on "Let's go, Brandon"? This thing has exploded into a huge phrase. I think everyone in America at this point knows what "Let's go, Brandon" means, except maybe Joe Biden.
Well, I think Joe knows, but he probably forgets. Well, here's my position on it, or my take on Let's Go Brandon. The media is having a conniption over it, and they're saying, "Oh, you're not respecting the office of the presidency." Well, when Robert De Niro stood up in Hollywood and said, "F Trump," everyone thought that was fantastic. They thought it was beautiful. And from that moment on, whenever he would get up, he being Robert De Niro, and address a crowd, he would always say, "F Donald Trump." He said it on The View. He said it on other award shows. And no one called him out on it. No one said anything about disrespecting the office of the presidency. So what's the big deal here? You even had, when Trump was elected, you had here in New York, Central Park, they put on a play, Julius Caesar, and they dressed a person up like President Trump in a black suit, white shirt, and red tie, and a blonde wig, and they went after him and they killed him. And everyone heralded that as being, "Oh, it's such fantastic avant-garde art." You even had effigies during Halloween. of Trump, people killing Trump. Different parades, they have big balloons of Trump and a diaper. The Orange Man, you had rappers doing videos of them shooting Trump in the head. And now Joe Biden or his acolytes, his followers, are crumbling over because of Let's Go Brandon? Are you serious? And we're supposed to look at this and say, oh, this is horrible. After 4 years of these individuals living in filth, saying the most vile things, and Let's Go Brandon, it's just, that's it, Let's Go Brandon. Now, of course, it can have a meaning behind it, but that's completely different when you're going to say, call out the president and say he's a racist, or to F the president, and you're saying the actual word, and you're saying the words in front of children. Whereas Let's Go Brandon, they may or may not know what it means. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a name. And so you want to tell me, okay, this is horrible? I don't think so. And it just shows you where society is now. So all these people that are up in arms and saying this is wrong and this shouldn't be happening, you're disrespecting the office of the presidency. When you had people saying F Trump, and some of these people went to the White House and were on the campaign trail, oh, please, talk about something else to me, because that makes absolutely no sense.
That must be the 30% of people who still support Joe Biden is saying this, because not many people still support the guy from what we were seeing in the polls. The Let's Go Brandon chant seem like just how everyone feels. If you look at what's happening in our country, like we talked about with this woke military, with the inflation, everybody just has a negative feeling towards Joe Biden and how he is affecting their life. Number 12 on the countdown is the Cuomo brothers get canceled in 2021. Quite the downfall for both of them, particularly Andrew. I think he fell even farther than his brother, Chris. You look at Andrew, he was the governor of New York in 2020. People wanted him to run for president of the United States. They thought he was the future of the Democrat Party. And here we are a year later, several sexual harassment allegations later, and he is no longer governor of New York. And if it didn't get bad enough there, his brother Chris Cuomo tried investigating these people that his brother was harassing, and he ended up finding himself fired from fake news CNN as well. I've really enjoyed the downfall of the Cuomo brothers this year. That's a personal highlight of mine. But Rob, what have been your thoughts on the Cuomo brothers getting canceled?
Well, they should have been canceled a long time ago. And if you go back and look at some of our shows, I always said that I never trusted or believed anything that Andrew Cuomo was saying about COVID-19. A lot of people got off their rocks because they would see him in his white button-down shirt, collar shirt, and nipple ring, and trousers. But I saw straight through it. Now, I didn't see straight through it to see the nipple ring, although that was obvious that you could see it. But I knew it was all a facade. And him writing a book about his successes and then going on to fake news CNN, he and his brother joshing about, laughing, and oh, this is funny, and we did this and that. And he's single and ready to mingle. All the while, he's out harassing women, allegedly harassing women. But his fall was because of how he apparently harasses women, sexual harassment. And we now find out that he's not the Attorney General of New York. Letitia James, who's political in her own right, is not going to charge him for touching a state trooper in a sexual manner. She's just going to move on over that. Now, had this been anyone else, they would have filed charges. Well, just look at President Trump. We have old allegations from years ago that can't even be proven, cannot be proven. They want to bring those charges up against him because he looked at her in a seductive manner, whereas Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of New York City, was actually allegedly touching women. We have the pictures, but it's okay. Well, not only him, well, look at Joe Biden and him groping little girls, and look at what he did to Tara Reid. But there's nothing to see here, but all other men must pay. But going back to the Cuomo brothers, I just like tying this all in, Andrew. I like giving our readers the full picture. But going back to Andrew Cuomo, so he had to step down in disgrace because of alleged allegations of misconduct with women, whereas almost 28,000 nursing home individuals died because of COVID-19, because he put people that were infected into nursing homes. No one is saying anything about that. We've just danced right over it. A possible homicide that he committed under his watch, a Democrat governor, and we're supposed to move on over it. And within that number of individuals in nursing home deaths, 28,000 plus, as one of our guests pointed out, of that number, I wonder how many were minorities. Because of course, they told us that minorities were hit the hardest because of this virus. But no one has said anything about it. We've just moved on and allowed him to step down in disgrace because of alleged sexual harassment charges that probably won't be proven. He probably won't be found guilty. They probably won't charge him. They'll just move on. But the deaths, nothing to see here. This is what happens when you're a Democrat. They'll take you all the way to the fire, to the gullitons, to pay the price, but then they'll pull back. Go figure.
Yeah. And I know, Rob, we've questioned what Letitia James' motives are as well. Could be a political positioning for herself to go after Cuomo so she can be a governor like she wants to be, like you believe she does.
Yeah, she does. But remember, she just pulled her name out of the running for the governor of New York City because she realized that no one has an appetite for it. She was trying to ride the coattail of Black women going up the ladder. But when she realized that they don't want you, she decided, okay, well, I'll go back to being the attorney general and going after President Trump.
Yeah, well, it looks like her long game to me was she wants a big political career. So she investigated Cuomo, got rid of him because there was so much there to see. And now, of course, she's going to come after President Trump. She wants to take him down. And if she is successful in that, she'll say, look, I'm not partisan. Look what I did to Andrew Cuomo. That's just what I see from Letitia James.
Oh, yeah. And she wanted people to say the same thing of Trump. I got Trump. I brought him down. I mean, she probably has a second act. She's probably going to try to run again as governor of New York. But right now, there's not an appetite. So,
number 11 for our top stories of 2021. We'll end this show with this one. And that is the left's constant attacks on Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. The left-wing Democrat Party is desperate for complete control, and they have not liked Sinema and Manchin sticking a fork in some of their plans, wanting things explained to them. They just don't want to blindly vote for any old bill. They're actually trying to find out what they are voting for. We've seen Joe Manchin tank Build Back Better, but before that, it was Kyrsten Sinema who's getting stalked at airports, at restaurants. She was getting confronted, even in the bathroom. I even remember her being confronted going to the bathroom about her voting. What are your thoughts on the left's bullying tactics against Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema?
Well, I would expect nothing less of these guys. Like you said, they started out with Kyrsten Sinema. They had them both in their line of fire, but then they wanted to focus in on her to see if they can get her to crumble. That took place during the summer and fall when they were following her. She's a lecturer at a university in Arizona. So they were following her when she was lecturing, when she went to the bathroom, when she went to airports, all over, you know, trying to get her to side with them. They were acting like little terrorists. But again, when you're dealing with a liberal media that has an agenda, they will not call them out. Now, they loved Kyrsten Sinema when she defeated her Republican opponent. But that was as far as it went, because they felt that, oh, well, she defeated the Republican opponent. She's on our side, claims to be bisexual. But when they realize that she has a mind of her own, nope, we don't like her anymore. Let's terrorize her. And when Joe was asked about it, what did he say? Well, this comes with the territory. Fast forward to Joe Manchin, the exact same thing. They thought that they were going to wrestle him down, to beat him down, to get him to see what they wanted him to see. Now, I'm surprised he didn't cave, because sometimes people will cave just to get people off their backs. And as he had said in private conversations to them, just leave my family out of it. But, you know, the Democrats can't do it. We're going to put him in it and his family. We're going to terrorize him, because maybe then he'll wake up. But see, if you give in to the mob once, you'll find yourselves constantly giving in to them. because they're never happy. They're never satisfied. And like clockwork, they all came out and said that he was a racist, that he doesn't like Black people. The last I looked, he's supposed to be serving the constituency of his state.
Yeah, and the polls say that over 70% of the constituents in his state are glad that he voted no on the bill.
Yeah, so it's like, what's wrong? What do you guys want him to do? I mean, no, don't get me wrong. I still have my eye on Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin because they're still on the Democrat side.
Yeah, they're still Democrats after right. all. Let's not forget that.
Still Democrats. And even if some were saying, well, he should move over to the Republicans. Okay, even if he moves over, okay, well, we're looking at it'll give us one more vote in the Senate. Yeah, but he'll probably still vote like them. So don't be so deceived to think that, oh, well, you know, bring him over. No, we have to still stay laser focused as to who these people actually are. Because at any moment, they will show their true colors and then we will be disappointed. That is a reason why. We have to make certain that we put people in office that have our ideas and that will stay the course and not waver like a Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Okay. Especially in that Senate in 2022, we need to elect a supermajority because, as time has shown the Republicans in the past, we can't count on Susan Collins. We can't count on Lisa Murkowski. We can't count on Mitt Romney. We need to take the Senate back and take it back by a lot of seats because we've got the same issues on our own side of people who do not vote along with the party. And I can actually kind of identify with the Democrats being upset with Sinema and Manchin, although the steps that they've taken have been completely over the top and ridiculous.
Yeah, I concur. I concur with everything that you just said, Andrew.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us tonight on this rundown show of 2021. If you want to join us again tomorrow night, and we hope you will, we'll be running down the rest of the list, the top 10 stories of 2021. So much happened this year, and we all thank you for joining us tonight and every single night on After Dark with Robin Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutloud.com, who celebrated its fifth anniversary this year, going into its sixth year in 2022. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.